our God. And we don't want them to do that. But let's look at them. So Hebrews chapter 2, here verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, right? So that's the Father or God or Christ doing the sanctifying. We're the ones being sanctified. Are all of one. So there's this closeness, right? This unity. For which reason, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. So again, a term of endearment and closeness, like we might refer to each other as brethren. But as Sister Nancy mentioned, it's not equivalent completely. It's not entirely the same as we are humans, whereas Jesus was deity. So this passage here again reminds us of the closeness, but also doesn't negate the reverence. In fact, verse 12 says, saying, I'll declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I'll sing praise to you. And again, I'll put my trust in him. Here I am, and the children whom God has given me. And so it's as if the Lord joins us in our adoration of God. And God is still deserving of all the reverence and praise and trust that this scripture here declares. Look again in Hebrews 2, verse 17. Hebrews 2, 17. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So the Lord came down to our level, put on our flesh, so that he might be able to best sympathize with our weaknesses and our temptations. So he is, again, close. He can understand, but it doesn't mean that he is no longer God. Another verse, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, it says, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So again, another passage that could be misunderstood. We can come boldly before our God. That doesn't mean brazenly. That doesn't mean that we come before him demandingly. But it means we can come before him in confidence because we are his children, just as a child might run to their parent and know that this is my mom, this is my dad, and I can trust them. And also because Jesus could sympathize with us as well. So this gives us confidence. We can say, Lord, you know what this feels like. Help me, please. So the boldness more describes our confidence that we can come before him, not a lack of reverence or respect. We've got some more passages before I turn to those. Any comments on these ones here? All right, because they are addressing prayer, aren't they? And we are talking about, you know, praying to God in reverence and also intimacy as well. So it has a little bit of both. Hebrews 10 here, verse 19. Here's another one. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So brethren, this is the confidence we can have that we can come into the holiest. Why? Well, because of our goodness? No, because of the blood of Jesus, he says. What he did, what he accomplished on the cross, his sanctification that purifies us so we can stand before a pure and almighty God. The next point on the slide says we're not talking about box seats at a ball game, but the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Right? So these this prime position, this ability to be close to God is to be taken with the highest reverence. And in case we didn't understand that, and in case we think all those passages speaking about casualness and a lack of reverence, towards the end of Hebrews, he makes it very clear that that's not the case. So in Hebrews chapter 12, here he says in verse 28 and verse 29, Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace that by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So that one whom we are able to approach the throne of grace boldly, the one whom we are able to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, this closeness does not mean irreverence or casualness. Which, what does the author say? Unconcerned, irregular, or accidental. Right? But it's purposeful. It's intentional. And done with deep respect, that we may serve God with reverence and godly fear. For, don't forget, our God, He is a consuming fire. Right? Just like we teach our children, right? Don't play with fire, right? Don't be casual around that. You're going to get burned. You're going to get hurt. Respect it. Just like some, I know they teach in firearms and all that, that don't point and pull unless you're ready to shoot, right? So you have to respect the weapon because it can offer deadly force. Well, our God's a consuming fire. We have to recognize His nature and tread carefully. So there's that balance, right? Intimacy, but reverence. Yes.
About a firearm. Yesterday, I was over at Stephanie's, and the guy next door, he came over and he said, there's a groundhog that keeps hanging around my backyard back here. He said, I'm thinking about shooting. And I said, I don't know. Sure or not, you're not going to use a shotgun. He said, I'm going to use a rifle on it. And I said, wait, you know, I've got some bullets over here in the truck that you might like to go in your rifle. And he said, all right, bring them over and I'll show you how to hit. And we put a tin can out there about 10 yards, and he couldn't even hit that. I said, I don't think the camera will be in too much trouble. And he said, well, I need a good steady rest. So he went over there and got on his fence, and he missed it again. I said, I don't know. And I'm pretty sure the groundhog would be pretty safe. That's what I did since you bring it up.
I remember one time when Justin went to go shoot with Chris Reeves that Justin's he's not an expert with guns and he was just learning and I think he set the barrel into the ground and Chris is like, don't do that now. That's not the right way to hold that. And so, right, there's a process, right? And when following the process, it can offer the greatest protection. Just like following God's word offers us the closest relationship, but we have to respect the process, right? Or we can get hurt. So there's parallels that we can make.
Well, you know,
yes.
There's when my friend passed away, his uncle, you know, he told me, he said, well, he's going to heaven, you know. And of course, Jimmy, he didn't go to church hardly. He might have went maybe once in his life, maybe that went because his mom took him there. But what his uncle was, you know, saying, and he's a big Baptist, you know, believer. Well, last night we was pulling out of McDonald's, and he was over at the BFW because they was having, you know, probably another drink and stuff. And then, so he sort of takes, you know, his serving God as a, you know, it's sort of casual.
Right.
God's going to take care of him in the end, which...
They've got the wrong concept.
How he's living, you wouldn't think it.
Wrong concept of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So that kind of dovetails into what I want to talk about next, is that irreverence and casualness is often marked by disobedience, right? So there were some times where people that should have respected the process that God had laid out did not, and, well, they met dire consequences. You all are familiar with the example of Leviticus chapter 10, 1 through 3, with Nadab and Abihu. And God connects this to their concept of reverence for Him, or lack thereof. So in Leviticus 10, verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censers and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Remember, our God is a consuming fire. Remember, serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear, as we just read. Well, they didn't do that. And Moses said to Aaron, verse 3, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So there was a lack of respect and reverence that they had. They hadn't thought it through. They just casually thought, well, this is something we're supposed to do. Let's just do it real quick. To a degree, somehow, some way, those thoughts entered their mind because they didn't pay respect to the prescribed order. And God says, this disobedience is often connected to the way one views me. That's why it ought to be concerning to us when someone wants to refer to God as their daddy. Right? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes this daddy says, ah, I guess I'll just kind of let that one slide, right? Yeah, we correct, but like the Hebrew writer says, we don't do it perfectly, right? Because we are human. But God is perfect. And God's not this casual dad that's just going to let things slide. Nadab and Abihu found that out, right? There's another instance in Numbers 16 where we see that that's the case again. Numbers chapter 16, verse 3. There you see they gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves. Now this is the Korah. And the sons of Korah that come before Moses and Aaron, they say, you take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? So the sons of Korah didn't like their position as non-high priests. You know, we want to be like that. We want to have this kind of connection with God. The only problem was that wasn't God's prescribed order. So verse 4, when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is His and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to Him, that one whom He chooses He will cause to come near to Him. Do this, take censers, Korah and all your company, put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. Then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve Him? And then he says at the end of verse 10, and are you seeking the priesthood also? So he's saying, in essence, God had already placed you in a closer position than most. You're still sons of Levi. You get to work and to handle some of the equipment of the temple. But God selected the sons of Aaron to be of the priesthood. You want that too. So they were not being reverent before God and His position. They wanted to be more casual. This is something we'd like to do. Well, the end, we'll fast forward. Verse 31 says, now as it came to pass, he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, and all the men with Korah, and with all their goods. God said even their goods were stained by their irreverence. He wanted them to be removed from the face of the earth, lest this kind of irreverent attitude spread among the people of God. I think there's a lesson for us in that. And when we have individuals that want to treat God irreverently and His worship irreverently, that can also spread among the people of God. So think about that. Let's see, I'm running out of time. I want to make an application. Do any have any comments or questions before I do that? Okay. So, what is the difference between me coming here to this assembly with people to worship God, to pray to God, to sing to God, and me at home with my family, and we do a little worship time, a little Bible reading and singing at home? What's the difference? Is there a difference? Okay, good. Commanded to come together to assemble. Oh, we're commanded to come together to assemble. So it's fulfilling a commandment. Yes?
We need 5 acts of worship.
Okay, 5 acts of worship. Good, good. What else? To build up each other. Good. All right, so it's to see more than just our family.
I was going to say edify.
Edify. All right. Good, good. Excellent. All right, now let me ask you this question. It's the same God, right? It is. Do I dress up in the suit and tie on my couch when I'm having that time of prayer and singing at home? No, I don't, do I? But I do here. So where's the difference? What's the difference?
Casual.
There you go. Good. Okay. Good. Right. The homes are dwelling places, right? Filled with more activity than just simply worship, right? In fact, there's other affairs that God expects us to be involved in as our home. But when we come together to assemble, it has a specific purpose, right? That is to the worship and honor and glory of God. And so at one place, yes, it doesn't mean I approach God with a casual attitude, right? We need to still have respectful attitude. But I also recognize that when we come together as a church, that it is special, right? So it's kind of like the prophet in the Old Testament again, understand the difference between the holy and the unholy, right? Something that's not necessarily set apart specifically only to God, right? The family unit has other functions, whereas this is. Now, there's times we're on the cleaning duty this month. We come into the church building and we're in our regular casual clothes, right? Again, the difference. That's not a set apart time in which we're worshiping God. And so we recognize what we're doing here, which is often a reflection of how we're appearing, right? When I appear before someone special and in a special way, right? The dress often matches the part. If I'm to go before the governor or the president, right? It's a lot different than if I was to watch him on TV at home. See? So the same is true with when it comes to our maybe family worship in contrast to our corporate worship together. That there is a difference in terms of coming for a special purpose to worship a special God. Reverence must be here, and it's often respected and reflected in our clothes. I can almost guarantee you if I came up here and led this class or worship in T-shirt and shorts, even if they were knee-length shorts, right? Modest shorts. I'm pretty sure it would throw everybody's mind off God. It would do for me if someone came up here like that. And so we have to recognize that the way we're approaching God, it does affect our mentality together as well. Comments or questions about that? Yes, Marie.
Over on the West Coast, there is a congregation that's exploding called Christ the King. And at the local movie theater, they have advertisements that scroll. One of them was a mother with her two kids. They're wearing a t-shirt and jeans, and it says, "It's not a fashion show. It's just church. Just show up." It is a very relaxed congregation.
Wow. Wow. Casual, exactly. And that, it's followed by disobedience, isn't it? So, and I would agree in the sense that it's not a fashion show, right? We're not simply dressing up so that you can say, hey, nice coat and tie, right? But it's my reflection of my respect for what we're doing together before a holy God. So, having a proper knowledge of God keeps us from casual worship, understanding that He is awesome, that God is holy, right? God is just, God is good. And so this kind of understanding then makes us have the proper frame of mind as we worship a Almighty God with reverence. Thank you all for your comments and attention during class. Class dismissed.